Thank you for that, Mark. We are back in Psalm chapter 119. That's been our series for the summer. And I think we've had about four lessons so far. This is our fifth one. We have a few more left before we finish up the summer series, even though summer will be ending. We called our series The Wisdom of the Word. As we've been going through Proverbs, and Proverbs is a book of wisdom. We went over that for several of the last years. Psalm 19 is almost like that specifically with the Bible. And it's the longest psalm in the scripture, longer than some of the New Testament epistles. And it speaks specifically about the Word of God. Now, we've looked at a couple specific subjects these first few weeks. As we finish up for a few weeks, I wanted to go through and just pick out some of the key verses in there and the key truths that those verses teach. And I wanted us to see that as we end. And so we'll just kind of go in order here and learn some principles about the Word of God from the Word of God. Number one, and this is an aspect we sometimes don't understand as we are trying to understand God's Word, but prayer is an important part of understanding the Word. Prayer is an important part of understanding the Word of God. Verse 18, the psalmist says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That is a prayer. Same in verse 27. "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." If we're going to get something out of the Bible, particularly when we read it, but in any instance, it's vitally important that we ask God to show us truths from his word. The first thing we have to understand, if we're really going to grasp this concept, is that the Bible is a spiritual book. It's not some dry, dusty, textbook. It's a spiritual book. Look at the verse there. We all know it well in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That little phrase there, "given by inspiration of God," literally means that it's God-breathed. Sometimes it's funny. Some feminists, they won't like something in the New Testament that Paul wrote about ladies' place or their role in society. Okay, well, Paul wrote that. And by the way, sometimes we say that. We'll say, "This book was written by so-and-so." Well, that doesn't mean they're the author. They wrote it. But they wrote God's words. The words that came from them were literally God's words. And they were God-breathed. And if they're God's words, then it's God's book. It's not a man's book. It always cracks me up when they, look, people argue about Genesis chapter 1, even people that consider themselves evangelical Christians. Is it allegory? Is it real time? I remember when I was in Bible college, how many of you have ever heard of the gap theory? That, God created the earth, and then, see, what we try to do is we try to fit truth into what scientists say, but we have to understand scientists aren't always right. Okay, the earth isn't millions of years old, and they want to make evolution fit, so they just keep throwing time at it, billions and billions and billions of years. That's nonsense. So they try to add the gap theory there. And I remember I was in my first semester of Bible college, where a New Testament survey, and I was a new Christian, and I'd heard about the gap theory, and I thought, Genesis, we're going to start Genesis, he's going to talk about the gap theory. And he did. He said, "Now I want you to look very carefully. Look at the space between verse 1 and verse 2. He goes, "That's a gap. It doesn't have any words. We're not going to study it, all right? That's the gap theory. There is no gap theory. Let's just stay with the Word of God. It's a spiritual book. It's written by God. So if it's a spiritual book, therefore, it must be understood spiritually. The reason a Christian can understand the Bible and get truths from the Bible is because we're saved and the Spirit of God dwells in us. And the Spirit of God can show us things from the Scripture. Now that means this: an unsaved person cannot truly or fully understand the Bible. Look at the verse in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. An unsaved person does not have God's Spirit dwelling inside of them. You know what an unsaved person really needs to understand about the Bible? How to get saved. And God convicts them. Now, it's still truth, and they'll still get the truth to convict them to get saved, but they're never going to totally get the Word of God and understand the deep things, because they don't have the Spirit of God helping it to make sense to them. It is a spiritual book. God does want us to understand. And so he gave us the Spirit of God to help us to understand correctly the Word of God. John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. By the way, have you ever been reading your Bible, reading for the day, and you'll read something that goes along with something that's going on in your life? How many have ever had that happen? Okay, I remember, and I've given this illustration before, I'll give it very briefly, but when I was in Bible college, I only went because my pastor told me to go, and I was struggling, and we were having, and I'm like, you know what, this is not for me, I'm done with this, I'm going to go home. And I just thought, I don't need this, okay? And we had a night where we were going to work, our car broke down, it was the middle of winter, we had to hitchhike home, I got home like 4 a.m, I was going to lay down for a couple hours, and I just decided, like, you know, this is just too much of a hassle, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't need to be here. I only came because my pastor. And so, but before I went to bed, I'm like, let me do my Proverbs of the day. Now, I don't know. It was either October or November, but it must have been, maybe it was probably October. It was the 24th, because I opened up and read it, and there was a verse in there, and it said this: if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, I read that. I'm like, well, let me read that one more time. If thou faintest, that means quit. In the day of adversity, and I had a really rough day that day, thy strength is small. You're weak. No guy likes to be called weak, right? Remember the men's meeting we had out here? Let's have a who can do the most, not push-ups, what are those? Bench press. All the guys thought they could do it, okay? Right, because nobody wants to be weak. And I'm like, I can't believe I just read that. And that was God saying, okay, this was for you today. I don't want you to quit. And so, but what happens? How does that happen? God leads us sometimes to the very scripture that we need in a time when we need it. Now, let me say this. That does not mean the Spirit of God will give you something from the Bible that nobody else sees. Right? By the way, that's how cults begin. And let me just say this. Cults don't want you learning from anybody but them. You ever notice that? They don't want you reading commentaries. They don't want you going to Bible college. You don't want anything outside of your control, because they're controlling you with stuff that's not true. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, some of their old watchtowers are very inaccurate. They predicted the time when the Lord would come, and he didn't get the memo. He didn't come. Yeah. They're not allowed to read their own old literature. Okay, listen, that doesn't mean God, I just discovered something that nobody else has ever seen. The Spirit of God gave it to me. First of all, if no one's ever seen it, the Spirit of God didn't give it to you. You got that on your own. Well, we're the new. I know, there's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, and so let's not go crazy here. You know, I don't understand these people get caught up in this nonsense, the flat earth. I thought we got rid of that like 500 years ago. Okay, I know people, some of our pastors I know, and I won't be specific where I know, and they believe in the flat earth. They're going to teach it to their church. I don't believe in the flat earth theory. I believe in the flat head theory. If you have a flat earth, you got a flat head, okay? But listen, by the way, if you want to believe in the flat earth, keep it to yourself. That's not a Bible doctrine. Now, I will say, there are some truths in the Bible that may be things that aren't really clear-cut, and we might have and they're not key things. We might have one belief one way. Maybe this is it. Okay, well, that's great. That's not what we're talking about. God will lead us into truth that's important to us, that's going to help us in our life. He will help you understand the Word of God. He'll convict you in areas where you are not following it. You know, we're going through Revelation to seven churches, and what does he say at the end of each church? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, the Spirit of God's going to touch their heart with what he was saying, which was Scripture, and teach them that it is true. Now, this is important. When we pray, I think it's in your notes, for God to show us something from his word, he is showing and implying the truth he has given. He is not giving a new truth. Okay, do you understand that? It's not, you know, Lord, show me something no one else has ever gotten before. Sorry, it's not in there. But I'll tell you what happens on a regular basis. You will see things that you didn't see. How many times has that happened? And I'll read a verse, and I've read it probably 50 or 100 times, and I'm like, I didn't catch that. How many of you have ever done that? It's just some little phrase or little something like, ah, it's not anything new, but it's like, I didn't catch that. Or maybe you're reading something that you've read before, and the truth is there, but you see it from a different angle, and it's applied a different way. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. The Spirit of God helps us with that. So what should we do? We should pray that God would help us to understand his word. It would be a good prayer every time when you just open up the Bible. Just say in your heart, Lord, open my eyes today so I can behold wondrous things out of your law. Show me something today as I'm reading. And by the way, sometimes you read it and just a bunch of stuff will jump off at the page at you. Other times you maybe read it, and maybe you just read something you read before and you're encouraged, but nothing new, nothing has jumped out at you, and that's okay. What is our goal? Our goal when we read the Bible is not just information. We want inspiration, okay? We want to be inspired and challenged and encouraged to keep living the Christian faith and something that we can take with us on that day that will help us. Jesus even prayed that the word of God would be able to help us. Look at John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is Jesus' prayer, and he says he wanted us to be sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for God's purpose in your life. By the way, I hope all of us are set apart, okay? And God works in our life to make us closer to what he wants us to be, so we're set apart and living in such a way that we can accomplish the purpose that he has for us in our lives. That's very important. How does that sanctification happen? He said, sanctify them through thy truth. We need truth to change us and help us to be what God wants us to be. Not false thoughts, not errors that we see that are pushed upon us all of the time in our world. There's all kinds of untruths being thrown out there. And so what we need, if we're going to be different and be what God wants us to be, we need his truth. Amen. How has that truth come? The truth is from the Word of God. Word of God is the only book that can make a true, long-lasting difference in your life. You say, well, I read a book by somebody one time, and they gave a thought that helped me. But if it's a Christian book, they're getting it from the Bible. They're teaching you what the Bible has said. So how should we pray that for the Bible to be opened to our eyes, open to us? First, pray for attentiveness, okay? Open your eyes. That's our eyes. Now, sometimes you read the Bible. You ever read something, you'll read a couple pages, and there's thoughts floating around in your mind? Some of you, that's not an issue. But there's thoughts floating around in your mind, and it's like, what did I just read? How many ever done that? Be honest. Yeah. When I was in Bible college, and I was working all those hours and working a full-time job and reading all the outside books, there was a lot of that going on. This finger read a lot of books. Hey, Tom, how you doing over there? You know, just keep the finger going. Get to the next page, right? Just kidding. I tried to read them all. But you read, and by the way, I'll be honest, sometimes that happens with the Bible, especially if you're going through something. Sometimes if you're going through something and you got all these thoughts floating through your mind and you're trying to read the scripture and the thoughts, and sometimes you just need to settle down and just say, Lord, open my eyes. Like the problems you're dealing with, they'll be there later. Don't worry about it, okay? They'll be there waiting for you when you're done. But so we're attentive. Open our eyes. Pray for understanding. Have an open mind. Lord, I want to understand what the Bible says. Okay? By the way, if you read something in the Bible and you think, hey, there's a little nugget of truth there, if you want to understand it, just make sure you're reading the verses before it and after it so you're getting it in context and you're kind of understanding what he's talking about there. Okay? But you want to understand it. If you don't understand what it's saying, you're not going to get the truth that it wants you to get. But when you understand it, you get the truth. And then that leads us to the last thing. Pray for application. That's an open heart. What does God want me to do because of the truth of his word? What does he want me to do? Now, sometimes he doesn't want you to do anything. He's just encouraging you. Other times, he's maybe touching on something. It's like, that's not really forefront in my life, or maybe I've let that slip a little bit and I got to get back to that. What's the application? Let me start doing it. Okay, so the Bible is not just a book to memorize facts. You can memorize all the facts in the world. You know, Abraham was married to Sarah, and whoever was married to whoever, and Jonah was swallowed by a fish, and this guy wrote that book, and that's all great, and that helps you to understand it, but that doesn't change your life. We want to understand it so we know the truth behind what's being said, so we can take that truth, and how does that apply in my life? By the way, that's part of what meditation is. Now, before we move on, I will also say this. The Word of God is also good for prayer requests. Do you know you can remind God of what he said when you pray, right? You know, I remember back in the early days of our marriage, and we had moved to Florida, and we were struggling financially, and we didn't have money to pay our bills, and we were like right there. I would just remind God, now, Lord, I'm tithing, I'm paying my bills, and now you said you would provide, and you've never seen the righteous begging bread, so you make sure you provide for us, Lord. You promised. I didn't say that. You said that. And you know what? God always did take care of us. I wasn't being rude to God. I've tried that before. It doesn't work. But pray about it. If there's a promise in the Bible, you know, pray that promise. Lord, you said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Okay. Hezekiah. He prayed to the Lord one time and someone sent him a letter and it was blaspheming God. They were threatening their destruction. And he just set the letter out before God and said, oh, Lord, you see the letter right there. You said, you know, we're your people. You'll take care of us. He's blaspheming you. Now, he didn't say it like that, but that's what he was praying. Like, Lord, there's a letter. You can read that. What are you going to do about it? Okay? Someone told me that that was a preacher many years ago that was with Billy Sunday, and he was an evangelist, and he had some ministries going on, and they were a little bit tight on their money, and he just prayed out, Lord. He got a bill, and he prayed out loud. He said, now, Lord, this is your ministry. This is your bill. I always pay my bills on time, and I know that you said you'd take care of your bills, so there's one bill this needs to be taken care of. Now, I wouldn't necessarily pray like that to God. He did, okay? But let's pray God's word. When God gives us a truth or a promise, it's okay to remind God of his promises. Okay, but kids, have you ever done that? You said, you know, you would take us here. When are we going? Number two, God's word is not to be endured, but delighted in. God's word is not to be endured, but delighted in. Verse 24. By the way, when the verses just say the number in front of them, that means they're all from Psalm 119. 24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Because he delighted in them, he was able to learn the truth from them that they were giving to him. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. You know, he didn't just love God's word, he delighted in God's word. You have relatives? I love them. I just don't like them. I don't have any relatives like that. I love all my relatives and love spending massive amounts of time with each and every one. Verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. Thy law is my delight. This is our attitude towards the word of God. You see, our attitudes towards something determines how we look at it. If we don't see God's word as something delightful, something we love to be in, something that's precious to us, something that's a blessing to us, then we have the attitude of, I'm just checking off a prayer list because that's what Christians do. That's not a good spirit to have. We're supposed to delight in God's word. But that doesn't work with your family, right? All right, supposed to have date night every week, every week. My wife and I, we had our date night last night, and I got in the car, said, okay, we're not talking, we're not doing anything. Date night, check it off the list, be quiet, we're good. I said, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a martyr for the cause of marriage. Can I tell you something? She would not be excited about that, right? Okay, that I probably would, but she wouldn't be excited about that because it's a relationship, okay? We go out together because I don't know if she does. I like being with her. She doesn't like being with me, but one of us do. But we delight in it. I wonder how God feels. All right, got over the word. Got to do the word of God. Okay, just 5 minutes, we'll get this thing done. We'll get her done. That's no. Like, hey, there's good things in there. Lord, I delight. I love your word. By the way, if you're new and you're reading it, I know how it is. Sometimes you don't get all of it. I get that. But the more you come to church and you're hearing it taught, and the more you're reading it and you read it over and over, it starts to connect. And you'll start to get some things out of it. And you will delight in it. God wants us to delight. How we see God's word. How we respond to God's word. Now, we all know Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3 very well. But what is the key to this whole thing here as we read through it? I think it's the fact that he delighted in God's word. Blessed is the man, he gives the negatives, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's staying away from those whose counsel is ungodly. It's not what God would give. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, being around those who are not living right. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is, placing ourselves in learning of those who are scorning of God's word. It says, the man that doesn't do that stuff, he's blessed. Verse 2, but his delight, that's the contrast, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He thinks about it. Now, that doesn't mean that every waking moment of your life is just God's word, but every decision that comes, God's word's on the forefront. It's right there. And you takes time to stop and what did God really say there? And you think about it. Why does he do that? Because he delights in it. And because of that, there's an effect. And he, the positive, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What's the big deal about that? You know, the tree's closer to the water, get refreshed, and they're greener, okay? And the trees are farther away that aren't getting as much water, they're not going to be as green. But you're right there. You're nourished. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Because of that, there's evidence of God's word in your life. And his leaf shall not wither. He'll continue to go on. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Anything that he does is going to prosper. Why? Because he's delighting in God's word, he knows what God says, and because he delights in it, that's what he wants in his life. And when you want in your life what God wants in your life, God's going to bless that every single time. Okay, someone could look at the promise and say, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, what if I decide to, you know, rob a bank? Well, if you're delighting yourself in God's word, you won't want to rob a bank. Okay, you're going to want to do the right things. And when you want to do the right things, you're on the same page with God, and he's going to bless what you're doing. And you will be prosperous. But it all starts back with the attitude. What was the attitude? His delight is in the law of the Lord. How do we delight? We should delight in knowing his word. We ought to want to know what God says. A lot of us know facts about non-essential things, right? You know, and you know, we like some hobby or we like some athletic deal or whatever, and if you do, you're going to know facts about it. You know, you like computers, you got to know some facts about this, that, or the other. That's normal, okay? But we ought to have a delight to want to know what God's word says. We have a delight to say, I really want to know what God's word says. That always is where it starts. That ought to be natural. And then we ought to delight in living his word. Look at verse 35. We didn't read this one. It says, excuse me, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. For therein do I delight. Says, man, I want to follow your path. I want to follow the pathway, live my life following what God's word says, because you, for there, those your commandments, I'm delighting in that. Understanding God's word has a purpose, and the purpose is, what effect is it going to have in our life? What is it going to call for me to do, or encourage me to do, or teach me to do? That's very important. God's word is to be lived. Number three, and then we'll be done. The strength we need to live godly in this life comes from the word. Verse 28, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. He was struggling. Strengthen thou me. Now how? According unto thy word. We all have times when we are weak. We all have times when we have maybe discouragement or situations of life get to us. And during those times, we can be tempted to maybe stray away from God or maybe back off of the things we're supposed to be doing. You know what we need in those times? We need some strength. By the way, you cannot live the Christian life in your own power. Now, we can flip it to the other side, like, well, okay, I'll just wait for God to help me to live the Christian life. No, as we seek to do what God asks us to do in his word, he strengthens us and helps us to do that. But we need his strength. We cannot do it on our own. You ever hear someone say, oh, you're doing it in the power of the flesh? In other words, we're trying to do what we're due for God without having any type of relationship with him. And therefore, we don't have the fuel to do what we're supposed to do. That strength comes from the Spirit of God, yes. But the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to help us to go forward. We're trying to run on empty way, way, way too many times. Some of you may be struggling in some areas of your life. You may be struggling spiritually. And I would always ask someone that's doing that, how much time are you spending in God's word? How faithful are you to the church services where you're going to be encouraged in God's word? And usually, most every time, someone's backing off on that a little bit. Okay? And so we need God's word. That strength that comes through God's promises. Look at the resources he left Joshua. Joshua was taking over for Moses. That was a big commitment. You know, Moses had been with the people for over 40 years. And really the only spiritual leader they had ever known. And now they're finally going to go into Canaan and they're going to face battles and they're going to face all these different things. And they needed a leader, and it's going to be Joshua. Moses is no longer there. So they're switching leaders midstream, right before they go into probably the hardest battles they're going to face. And Joshua is going to take that. So God's going to encourage Joshua and help him to have the resources he needs to be able to do that. What is the resource? Look at the verses. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. He was going to need that. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance in the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. He says, listen, Joshua, you need to have courage. You need to be strong, because if the leader doesn't have courage and the leader's not strong, they are going to struggle. They're going to look to him and say, he's the spiritual leader and he doesn't think it can be done. So he tells them, you're the guy that's going to get the job done. Then he tells them how. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. His strength was going to come through his obedience to what God had told him. And then verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, you're going to be prosperous as you have a relationship with the law, the word of God that he was given at that time. Their very existence, their very fuel for victory was going to come from God's word. And as you look in the book, you see that when they obeyed God and they got their orders from God and they followed them, they were victorious. The times that they didn't, they were defeated. And by the way, God had already told them that in Deuteronomy. I mean, God told them, listen, you're going to be either blessed or cursed. And here's what you do when you get into the land and follow what I'm saying here. Joshua needed that. How much more do we need that? Strength comes when we are seeking to obey God and do what he says. If we have the right spirit and we have the right heart and we're like, Lord, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do exactly what you say, God strengthens us and helps us to do that. He always will. This is for both of, not just for Joshua, this is for us. Look, in another way we get that strength is we find that in the promises that God gives us. So often you read the Bible and you'll hear this promise of strength in this situation. It's like, hey, I can do that because God is on my side. Look, I just pulled out a few verses here. Psalm 29:1, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with strength. Hey, are we looking for strength? Are we looking for peace? That comes from God, and that comes from relationship with his word. Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no strength, he increases strength. You say, man, I feel weak right now. That's a good thing because now you are a candidate to get strength from God. See, God likes to be the one that gets the credit for anything you do. We want to be the ones to get the credit. Well, how did you guys do that? Well, let me explain our 10 steps for success. You know, someone has said, if you do anything for God and you can explain it, then God did not do it. Okay, right? We want to look at it and say, yeah, we did our best and we tried to be organized, but how that happened, God just got involved in that thing and took over. Okay? God can do that. And I love this verse, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Okay? We wait for him. See, we want to act on our own. Now, somebody, I heard him say that this wait means, you know, you're serving. I checked out the word, and that's really not what it means. So let's wait on the Lord. Sometimes it's, and if you have a type of personality like, I want to be in control, and I want to make sure this gets done, sometimes God says, step back. Just find out what I want to do. Let me get involved, and this thing will work out. Wait, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Your strength gets renewed. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Then lastly, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We take stuff like that and people run with it, like, you know, these churches that they're ultra hyper spirit charismatic Pentecostal type churches. The Spirit of God's just involved and he's doing everything, and there's no scripture in anything they're doing. That's not the Spirit of God. That's nonsense. You know, they get up and yell these things and people are rolling down the aisle and barking like dogs. That's scary. One of the first churches I ever went, first church I ever went to, I was 11 years old. It was Glad Tidings Annex up on South and Cherry. And I went there because they were giving away free candy, okay? So I'm like, I'm going. And I'm sitting in the service, and they were that type of church. And I heard people moaning and acting weird, and it scared me. I'm like, this is just weird. I couldn't wait to get out of there. That was kind of bizarre. And then they blame it on the Spirit. No, the Spirit works and strengthens us through the Word of God, okay? And as we're connected to the word, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. He renews us and he strengthens us and allows us to be able to do the things that he wants us to do. And we must end right there. Let's pray.